And today's daf is daf Yud Gimel, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. We got up to the two dats, Rabbi Yehuda, Eimer, Af Isha Acheret Matkinin Lo. Now this is a most extraordinary daf, and this is the daf that I referred to, I explained to you once, that's the only place that we find that as Rashi understands the daf, and Tosfos also, Maram is the same, that the Gemara, this daf is the Gemara creating a branching diagram in which it wants you to learn, if you had to deal with the Gemara from the point of view of programming, and you would have to go through every possible logical step, how many steps would it take to start converging on an answer that you might seem to think is a simple thing in the first place? So that the Gemara is going to go through, as Rashi says, multiple impossibilities, and will only deal with one possible response to the impossibility, and leaves it to you to figure out how many different branches of why it would be impossible. And then you'll see that if you follow them all through, you're going to have to converge on the same solution, which is an amazing thing, because normally the Gemara allows you to at least take several steps at once in making logical conclusions. Here it forces you to go through each step separately. So let's take a look at what this revolves around. Rabbi Yehuda said that Afisha Acheret Matkinin Lo. So remember that we darshan v'chiper ba'ado ba'ad beto, and beto zo ishto. So therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, listen, you have no choice. If you're going to be worried about what happens to him, when you're matkinin lo k'yan acher, you have to be also mitaken another wife, because how do you know that she won't die? And the Rabbanan say that if that's the case, aim the dover safe. So what exactly is the... wait a minute, when we get up to there? No, we didn't. No. Yeah, I think we did, right? Yeah, we did, yeah. Okay, so for Rabbanan Nami, ask the Gemara, why indeed are the Rabbanan mechalek between the case that they worried about, namely that the kohen might become tame, and this case, which Rabbi Yehuda is worried about. It's not as if they don't also think that we ought to make sure that bad things might happen, and therefore we should deal with them. There's a big difference. Tuma shchicha, mita lo shchicha. Look, I mean, we're going to be worried about dinim of tuma. I mean, obviously we have this very strong concern about this kohen gadol being raya keri, and even if we're not worried about that, we're certainly worried about maybe somebody speaking to him who's an amoretz, and he's getting splattered with from an amoretz, and that would cause him to become tummy because we gave it a din of zivas, and so on. So that's the kind of thing that can happen, but we actually have later in the Gemara an actual case like that, but we do not have to be choshesh that someone is suddenly going to drop dead. So that is very unlikely that his wife is going to die in Yom Kippur. It's unlikely. Says the Gemara, okay, then the Mishnah when the Chachomim said, im kein ein ledavar sof, if you're going to be choshesh for the death of one, so how do you know, I mean, at what point do you stop? I mean, you're telling me that we have to worry about things that are unlikely. So, okay, so then how do you plan for things that are unlikely? Because once you start planning for things that are unlikely, then, I mean, you know, maybe the next woman that they were in the tech in will also die. I mean, so then where do you draw the line? So Shapakar, I mean, Lila Rabbi Yehuda, that is a good point. Says Rabbi Yehuda, look, I mean, basically the idea over here is that we draw the line at one step, so that lamita dechada chashinan, lamita detarte lo chashinan. So we're not going to square the possibilities over here by adding yet another case that we don't do. So it's a different order of magnitude, and we don't change. We take one order of magnitude of chashash. Why does Rabbanan say? I mean, you can't do that because, I mean, it isn't a function of magnitudes. It's a function of its uncommon occurrence. If you're telling me it's uncommon, it's uncommon. I mean, what's the difference how uncommon it is? Once you're telling me that I have to be chayish for things, I understand the Rabbanan are normally not geyser for something to lo shchicha. If you're telling me I have to worry about something that's lo shchicha, so how do you start saying it? It's this much lo shchicha, but now that much lo shchicha. Lo shchicha is a definition in and of itself. So, ask the Gemara, but wait a minute. I mean, the Rabbanan's problem, the way they enunciated it, their problem is, im kein ein ledavar sof, right? Where are you going to draw the line? And Rabbanan have exactly the same problem. So, Rabbanan, Eber, Inun, and Avshayu, they are worried about the Kohen Gadol becoming Tameh. And therefore, we have to have another coin. So why not be worried about that coin becoming tummy? And then we need another coin. And then this goes on ad infinitum, in which case, forget about it. It was exactly what they said to review it, isn't it? No, said the Rabbanan, actually, the Kohen Gadol is very careful. It's highly unlikely that we're ever going to need to utilize this Kohen Acher. So what kind of answer is that? So then you're telling me that it's not likely. So if it's not likely, why do we have the Kohen Acher? That doesn't make sense. Izorizu, Soloma Matkinim lo Kohen Acher. Aha, no, that's the whole point over here, you see. It's because we've got this Kohen to take his place and he's nipping at his heels. That's going to make him very careful. So you're right. If it's just the issue of like planning for the unlikely, we wouldn't plan for the unlikely. But when planning for the unlikely makes it more unlikely, then we plan for the unlikely. So therefore, it's a great idea to put someone in the wings over there because that'll get him doubly concerned about making sure that he's not tummy. He doesn't want anybody taking his place. Okay, so Kiva Davdina Leit Tzara. So now he's got an extra, he's got a wife in there, another coin. It's Tzara, basically. Oh, he's going to be doubly careful. Koshik Eni Mizdaris Tvei. But wait a minute, says the Gemara. What good is this takana? I don't understand. Misagile betakanta. I mean, the other coin, what do we do with the other coin? We tell him, you know, make sure you make, you know, learn through the halachas, make sure that you're a book. I mean, that's all that we do. I mean, what do we do when we prepare another woman for him? I understand. What are we going to do if, in fact, his wife dies? Okay. So then what's going to happen? I mean, doesn't she need to be married to him? What good is it for him to have another woman in the background? After all, the Torah says, v'chi per ba'ado ba'ad beito. I mean, she's not married to him. So she's just a woman. So she's not beito. No, no, of course, he will give her kedushin. That way, if his wife dies, so then he will have another wife. So he's Mekadosher. Yeah, but, I mean, just being Mekadosher is not enough to call her Besar. I mean, he's never really slept with her. He's not part of her, right? So, I mean, how do we make sure that she's really Besar? No, 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 he takes her to the chuppah and everything. He marries her before Yom Kippur. I understand, but if he marries her before Yom Kippur, now we run into another problem. He's only allowed to have one bayis, not two beitim. So, im kein havelei shnei batim, v'achmanam rav chipir ba'ado uva'ad beito, he needs to have a single bayit that he's being mechaper on, not ba'ad shnei beito, because that already just makes it much more generic. The Torah wants him to feel a responsibility to a specific extension of his personal situation. That's why he needs to be misvada on these three different dargas, first on him and his bias, and then on all the Echav HaKayanim and Shevet Levi. Then he goes on to the Seirah Mishtaleach, and so on. So there's obviously a specific point in this. He can't have Shnei Batim, and that'll solve the same thing. Well, after he marries, so here we're starting our branching Mishagas, okay? So answers the Gemara. Okay, well, after he marries her, divorces her. What do you mean he divorces her? So if he divorces her, so we're back where we were. If he divorced, what good was marrying her? I understand what you're saying. So obviously, we have to start taking a look at what this could possibly mean, since it can't mean he just marries her and divorces her. That would be nonsense. So it has to mean that somehow we're going to use divorce as a modality to making sure that he both has a wife and doesn't have a wife. That's what it immediately suggests to you, right? So obviously what it must mean is that he's megarisher, so lo tzrich megarishla al tanai. So he gives her a conditional get, which would be activated by the circumstances on Yom Kippur, where it would make certain that he wouldn't have two batim. So what would that mean? So let's say if he says to her, here is your get on condition that you die before the end of Yom Kippur. So then if you end up dying, it will take place from the moment that we give you the get now. So then, if now this woman dies, so then fine, he will only have one woman. So there's not a problem. What do you mean there's no problem? Well, maybe she won't die. I thought the problem was we're trying to make sure he only has one wife. So if she doesn't die, so then the other one also may not die, right? I mean, so that she's going to have two batim. I thought you were giving me a way in which you'll only have one bayit. Okay, so maybe he says to her, this should be your get on condition that you don't die. Maybe that works better. So then, if she doesn't die, and the other one doesn't die, so then she's divorced. So then she would be divorced retroactively. And then if the, she does die, so then there's still the other one that didn't die. So she's only got one wife. Excuse me? But maybe she won't die in the and then the divorce will now be a kosher get, but the other one will die. I thought we're trying to figure out how he's going to have a wife in the event that the original wife dies. You haven't achieved anything. So then if Maitza Chaverta, now we're back where we started. So then he's left without any bias. So in ensuring that he doesn't have two batim, you've made the whole takara useless because now he won't have any bias. Okay, so you know what? He could say to her, this is your get on condition that one of you dies. So then if either one dies, so then we'll have the get chal. So then if the one that he gave the divorce to dies, so then you're going to have the other one. And then if this one dies, me saha chakaimaha. What? But that only works if one of them dies. I mean, what if there nobody dies and then we're back with the two batim again, right? Maybe neither of them will die. What good is giving a divorce on condition one of you dies? And what you're talking about? So then I thought we're trying to. Anyway, there's another problem with this. You cannot give a get with that condition because it's not a good get. Why? Because ki haigav namiya vigita, a get given on condition that the person who gets the get has to die is not a kosher get. Because Amar Rava, any get, even like a simple thing, you give a get with strings attached. What are the strings attached? That idea of strings attached is learned from this pasuk. So Hareze Gitech Almenat Shlo Tishtiyai. As I say, if you never drink wine again for the rest of your life, so then this is your get. So if he says all the days of my life, or all the days of your life. So then what that means is that there are strings attached that this relationship of his controlling her will continue at all times that their marriage exists. So either she dies or he dies, but up until the time that one of them dies, she's not allowed to drink. Why is she not allowed to drink? Because Mr. Big Boss said she's not allowed to drink. Okay, so then that means she was never unconditionally, with no strings attached, detached from him. So that's not a good get. But that's what he's doing over here. So then if he's telling her, we're divorcing you with the condition that you die, so then obviously there is no time that while she's alive, we could possibly be Mekayim the condition of this get. So then she's always going to be strings attached to him. Okay, let's try this. He tells her, Hareze Gitech Almanat Shelo Tamut Chavartech. So this is your get on condition that the other one doesn't die. So if the other one, first one, doesn't die, so then she's divorced. And if, in fact, if this one, the original one, he may saw her, hakaimaha. Very nice, except for one minor problem. I mean, how is everything going to be so clean? Maybe the original wife will die in the middle of the day. So then if she dies in the middle of the day, so now what happens? Now it turns out that the get that he gave to the one that he took is now not a get, right? Because it was only on a get on condition that the other one doesn't die, but the other one did die. Okay, so then it's not a get. So you're saying, okay, it's not a get, but he only had one bite because the original wife died. Yeah, but she died in the middle of the day. So now that means that all of the aveda that he did up until that point was not v'chiper ba'ado ba'ad beito, because up until that point he had two batim. The whole idea over here was to work it out so that retroactively there's only going to be a bayit echad. How is there only a bayit echad retroactively? Oh, okay, one second. So then we've got to figure out a way that we can use gitim conditionally, but that allows us a way to deal with the possibility that at any point in the day there will be two batim or zero batim. So how do we do that? Okay, how about this? He says to her, this is your get on condition that the other one dies. What good is that? What if the other one dies? Maybe the original wife will die, and then the get will go into effect, and then he's going to be without a get again. That doesn't... Look, there is no way to do this with one get, okay? That's obvious. We've gone through every possibility. There's no way to do it with one get. We have to work it out that if there are two wives, then we have to control each one of them with the condition that's in a get. Okay, so let's try that. There's two getting. He gives both of his wives a get. Now, so the first one, he says, L'chada amala. It doesn't matter, first one, second one, but to one. So let's say this first one. So he says to her, this is your get on condition that this new wife does not die. Okay. To the other one, he says that this is your get on condition that you don't go into a shul on Yom Kippur. Okay. So now, if there's a problem, we can always adjust it. Because, again, we're not worried about both of them dying. That's very important, because otherwise none of this is going to work out. But if neither wife dies, so then wife number one was retroactively Megurish. If wife number one dies, then she was Megurish from the beginning, because her condition was that the other one doesn't die, and we're not Chayish, that both of them are going to die, right? Fine. So now the only problem is that the other one was also given such a get. Ah, but that was only a get on condition she doesn't walk into a shul. So she walks into a shul, cancels her get, and now it turns out that she's okay, right? If the second one dies, so then automatically the first one is going to be canceled. So far, so good. Says the Gemara, well, why is it so good? How can we rely on that? Dilma lo maita chaverta. Maybe the other one doesn't die. And this one gets sick or something. She's desperately ill. Okay, so she can't go into the Beit HaKnesset. So then she dies, but then the get of each one of them is a kosher get, and now he's going to turn out that he never had anybody that he was married to. We're left again without a bias. Okay, fine. Let's say to wife number one, he says, "Areze gitecha menat shelo tamut chavertech." So if wife number two, the new one, does not die, then you are megoresh. Then, to the second one, he says, this is your get, but only on condition that I walk into a Beit HaKnesset. Okay, so now, if one dies, he's got the other one. If the other one dies, he's got the other one. Because he adds this tonight. Now, this is the only thing that you have to worry about. That what? Maybe, let's say the second wife will die in the middle of the Aveda, right? And now it turns out, if that's the case, that the first part of the Aveda was done with two batim. Well, that's not a problem. Because if the Kohen Gadol sees that this wife is about to die, so then he can run into the Beit HaKnesset, cancel her get, effectuate her get limafreya, and then it'll turn out that he only had one wife, and we don't have to worry about this happening to both of them. Okay, so that might be the issue. Matkiflo Ravasi, v'itemer of Avira, I don't get it. You are claiming that a Kohen Gadol, because it says Beito, Ba'ado, Ba'ad Beito, that he is only allowed to have one wife. That's ridiculous. Because if that's true, so then what would be the din if a man dies, being married to two wives, dies without children, and he has a brother who can be miyabim? So then, if, since it says Beit Achiv should mean that the din of Yibum is only where there is a brother with one wife. But if there's a brother with two wives, then there's no din of Yibum. Now, that is not the halacha. The halacha is that one of them needs Yibum and paters the other one. But you're taking so for granted, like nobody even discusses this. Obviously, if there is a two wives or three wives or whatever it is, then all of them are going to be in a position of requiring Yibum. How come we didn't say over there, Bayit Echad Am Rachmana, V'lo Shnei Batim? No, that's different, because the word Yevimto occurs a number of times in the Torah, in the Parshas of Yibum. So Yevimto is Riba. So since the Torah uses, in both Psukim, it uses the word Lo Yachbotz Yish Lekachas Es Yevimto, V'alta Yevimto Hashara, V'niksha Yevimto Le'enei Hazikeni. So in both the parasha, both of Chalitza and of Yibum, we find a constant stress on Yevimto. So Yevimto tells us that even if there is one more Yevama and another Yevama, it's still considered to be a Yevama. Okay, but if it wouldn't be for that, Ein Achinami, we would have said that there's no din of Yibum in this case. Okay, I have another problem, says Ravina. Or some say Rav Sharvia said. What you said before is that a woman who is mikudeshet is not called beito, and therefore you said he has to consummate the marriage in order for it to be a kapora al beito. Is that what you said? But if that's true, so then why do we say elamiata arusa lotit payem titiabe? You said that if it says in a pasuk et beit achiv, so then et beit achiv should mean a woman whose marriage was consummated with the brother or went to the chuppah, dafkan is suing. That's what you said. So then, according to that, if he only has a wife who's an arusa, then the din is that there's no yibum. But that's not true. The halacha is that we are miyabim, even if a person dies after giving kedushin, she still needs yibum. So why are you assuming that she needs yibum if she was only mekudeshes? Answers the Gemara, because the word of lo tiye eshet hamet hachutza leisar can be read as lo tiye eshet hamet, who is only chutza. So she's still external from his home because he hasn't now taken her to the chuppah or consummated the marriage. So she is a chutza. And even a chutza is considered to be usur to anybody else. So lo tiye eshet hamet, even the one who is the eshet hamet hachutza, his outside relationship that he hasn't yet fully married. But ein hachinami, if it wouldn't be for that, we would have said that the din is that an arusa lo tityape. What's interesting is that in the Yerushalmi, the answer that the Gemara gives to all of this is very simple. That isha acheres baskinen la means nothing at all he has to do. All he does is he sets this woman aside. So to the question about, well, what do you do if his wife dies? Because if she's only set aside, she's not Beisai. So the Gemara answers, he can marry her on Yom Kippur. How can he marry her on Yom Kippur if he's not allowed to sleep with that wife? So then it's not considered to be a consummated marriage. Says the Gemara, doesn't matter. Not like we say over here. And that all you need is Kiddushin. So over there, the Gemara says, but you're not allowed to do Kiddushin because it's a Kinyan. So you can't do a Kinyan on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur. To which the Gemara answers that since Ein Shvus B'Migdash, the Rabbanon were in Geiser, that the Kohen Gadol shouldn't be able to do a Kinyan. So therefore, there's no problem. If his wife dies, he simply takes this other woman who's been waiting for his Kedushin in that very eventuality, and then he'll have another wife. The whole problem that's generated here is only because of all of this, the commitment to the idea that Beito would have to mean a full Beito. So this question about Ravina, about Arusa, is very, very important here. Okay, so this was our approach. Now, this on the surface doesn't appear to be related to our Mishnah, but we will see how it is. Tana Rabbana, Kohen Gadol Makriv Onein, but Eino Ochel. So as we know, there's a special din, and we've seen this, the din of Tuma as well, where Tuma is not Osir B'tzibur, either it's Tchui or it's Udra, but other than a carbon Pesach, any carbon that was brought will still not be allowed to be eaten, right? So the same thing is true about the din of the Kohen Gadol, which we learn out from the death of Nadav Avihu, that Moshe Rabbeinu told him, you're still there, you're supposed to be Makrivoni there too. And this, that means that the whole idea that we find by Kohen Gadol, it relates to Umina Migdash lo yetze v'lo yichalel, so lo yetze v'lo yichal means he will do the Aveda and not be Mechal. So this turns out to be the din, which we're going to be getting to in Emor, that the halacha is that he was not allowed to stop being Makri. Okay, but he's not allowed to eat. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, that goes for the whole day. What does that mean? What do you mean, goes for the whole day? Omar Rava, what that means is that Rabbi Yehuda is suggesting, get him in there and let him work his head off all day long. Not only if he's in the Beis HaMikdash, should he continue working, drag him out of his house, bring him from his home, make him work the whole day, because we do not want him to be wallowing in grief in his aninus. He's not supposed to be margish the aninus. We want him to actually come to the Beis HaMikdash and work. Now, if that's what we understand Reb Yehuda to be saying, so that means that Reb Yehuda is trying to tell us that we should be more makel in the din of the aninus of the Kohen Gadol than the Chachamim are. Chachamim say, let him work if he's in the Beis HaMikdash. Reb Yehuda is saying, get him into the Beis HaMikdash. Armalei Abaye, but that's not true. Because Reb Yehuda is Davke, the one who is more machmer on the din of aninus. Where do we find that? Because Hashtel Reb Yehuda Apuke Mafkinan Lei, according to Reb Yehuda, a Kohen Hedyot, who is obviously subject to the din of aninus. So according to Reb Yehuda, we get that Kohen out of the Beis HaMikdash, even if he's smack bang in the middle of doing Avodah. D'tanya, Haya Omeidu Makriv Agabei HaMizbeach. So we have over here a Kohen who is bringing a carbon on the Mizbeach, V'shom HaShem Et Lo Meit, Meiniach Avodato V'yotzei, has to leave the Avodah in the middle and leave the Beis HaMikdash on the spot. Divrei Reb Yehuda. Reb Yossi Omer, no, he should first, Yigmar, first finish whatever Avodah he's doing, and only then he should go out. So what do you see from there? That it's Davka Reb Yehuda, who is the one who views Aninus much more chomer than the Rabbanit. So why would you explain that Kol Hayom means, I mean, it's a pretty weird explanation anyway, isn't it? And the meaning of Kol Hayom, I mean, At Amr Baitina Lemitoch Beiso, that we're saying the Kohen Gadol should work, and he's saying all day long means, and all day long he should be working. It's sort of funny. Elam, Rava, so Rava sees that he's wrong. That approach is not a good approach. So my Kol Hayom, you know what he meant when he said Kol Hayom? He meant something else completely. What he meant was that the Kol Hayom, my Kol Hayom, Lomar, the halacha is over here, I don't have the
Hold there on. Are printed editions of this text.
Yes, I know. That's what I need. And I just gave it away to Moshe David. One second. Okay. Okay. It's just very hard for me to read printed editions anymore, unfortunately. I need the lit up text.
So the Rebbetzin asked the Rosh Hashiva, so that why don't they make them bigger? So he said, because nobody would be able to carry it.
Yeah, he also couldn't read. But he didn't have an iPad. They tried to make him one, if you remember.
I saw it.
Yeah, my gosh. You know what it took to make the equivalent of an iPad text for my grandfather? Oh, God. They took this enormous video camera. This was before they had video cameras. The video camera was like this big. You know, right? They took this enormous video camera, put it on this big mechanism, and then there was a place where underneath you could put the Gemara, and they had these bright lights on the Gemara to be able to use the video camera, which took up the entire desk, and then they had this old-fashioned CRT screen connected to this video. Then he would put the Gemara there and move the Gemara up and down so he'd be able to see the text. We take for granted, like, wow, most amazing things. Okay, anyway, so we know what the real meaning is, says Rava. My Kol Hayom, lomar she'eino oved Kol Hayom. What he's saying is that he actually, in the night, he can work, but he cannot work during the day. That's what he's saying. So in other words, let him wait, kol hayom. Let him wait till the night. Why wait till the night? Because aninus, laila, is not considered to be aninus, remember, b'diraisa. It's only min rabbana. So memela, at night, we don't have a problem. But during the day? Is that what you're saying? During the day? No. Why not? Because Gzeira Shema Yocha, we're worried that if we allow him to do the Avodah Bi'aninut, so then he may end up eating, and he's not allowed to eat as an Einin. After the mace is already buried, so then the Aninus Lailas Min Rabbanan, the Rabbanan weren't makpid on that. Says Rav Ada Bar Ava to Rava, Reb Yehuda cannot be geyser this problem of Shema Yochal. It doesn't make sense, what Rav is trying to explain now. Because our Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda said that you can give him another wife because maybe his wife will die. And if his wife will die, then what will he do? He'll continue to do the Aveda because now he has this alternative wife, right? But I don't understand. Why aren't we worried that maybe he'll eat Ba'aninos since his wife died? So how does this work? Lo gozer Rabbi Yehuda Shema Yochal. Says Rav, what are you, nuts? Achiyashu, we're talking about Yom Kippur over here. I don't understand. What do you mean he's going to eat? We're not worried he's going to eat on Yom Kippur. Nobody's eating. Why is he going to eat on Yom Kippur? The case that we were talking about was a general case. The Kohen Gadol, we said his wife dies. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying, not all day. Oh, you have to wait till the night. Fine, because that's a normal day. Everyone around him is eating, and he is, you know, confused and so on. So maybe he'll come to eat. So Rabbi Yehuda says, "Where goes him and Rabbanu Meir will come to eat." Well, certainly, what would make him eat on Yom Kippur? We never think he's going to eat on Yom Kippur, do we? So Amar Layachi Hashta, some kivin the Yom Kippurim udikuli Amaloka Achlu Namiloka Atzilam Echal. If we're talking about Yom Kippur, where nobody else is eating, why in the world would he end up eating out of some sense of confusion? But over here, we're kuli Amayachli, in the normal day, when this is, if the Kohen Gadol loses a family member, so everybody around him is eating, so if we tell him to be Makrav Ba'anina, says Rabbi Yehuda, he may indeed come to eat something. So you may also come to eat on this day. Says Gemara, I'm very confused. Didn't you say that we worked it out that he ends up giving the get to the wife so that she was never married to him? We worked it out that there would not be a case where she dies that day where there hadn't been a get that had canceled her status as wife. So I don't get it. So if it canceled the status as wife, so then he's not an onan. According to Rashi, the Gemara is asking on the whole Shakav Atarya that we just had to give the answer to Rava that the reason that we don't have a problem is because it's Yom Kippur is silly. Rava should have said, what are you talking about, man? He is not an onan. How are you bringing a raya from our Mishnah to a case where the person was never an onan in the first place, right? Rashi is now explaining that the Gemara's answer is, okay, fine, but he would still be usher to eat because he's sad, and if you're sad, you're not allowed to eat. Now, that is so strange for a number of reasons, as the Tosfos Shanim points out. First of all, it never says such a thing, that you're not, the idea over there that you're not allowed to eat because you're sad? It only talks about that you need to eat b'derech gedula in terms of eating with the right foods, and you have to be able to put on all kinds of fancy additional things. You want to eat it with mustard. You should eat it with mustard, like Avram Avinu Sir, so on and so on and so forth. Where do we ever find this halacha? Furthermore, I don't understand. Are you claiming that a Kohen Gadol should not do the Aveda if his stock market collapses and he lost a lot of money? Tovas finasar b'yam? Did the Gemara ever say such a thing? And besides that, how would the Gemara, it's not the derech of the Gemara, to introduce new issues that we haven't never discussed before. We're talking about Yom Kippur, and now you're telling me, well, he's sad. And therefore, so explain to me what the issue is. I mean, it's an unbelievable way of understanding the Gemara. The pashtus is that what the Gemara is really trying to say is that we're asking why, if even we would be able to be geyser, that even on Yom Kippur he would eat. We wouldn't have this answer that we gave for Rava, right? Even though nobody else is eating, he would definitely eat. Why? Because, after all, he's an einin, right? What's the problem? He's not an einin. To which the Gemara would be answering, no, but the issue is not his technically being an einin. The reason we were worried wasn't it because of the fact that he was psychologically confused and therefore he might come to eat? So therefore, if you want to tell me that that is the problem and that therefore we were worried in the first place that he would come to eat even on Yom Kippur, so then the kasha was, but why would that be a problem if he isn't an onan? And therefore we're answering, okay, but if the issue is a psychological issue, so maybe he's not technically an onan, but he's still confused, and therefore he would come to eat. And that's why we needed to answer. No, he doesn't see anybody eating. So there's nothing that would require him to eat. That's the simple meaning of the way to read the Gemara, right? So we have two very different understandings of the closure of the Shakla V'Tayr over here. Let's go to see you in the morning, Bezrat Hashem.